Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind Original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
What's going on, everybody, and good morning. Today is Tuesday, January 28th, and this is your daily Go Birds Morning Update Super Bowl edition, giving you all the Eagles news you need to know, as well as what to keep an eye out for today. And I hope everybody enjoyed their victory Monday, the best victory Monday of the season, I have to say, when you consider the magnitude of the victory, which obviously is really all that matters when talking about, I'm sure, what was a great Monday for Eagles fans out there everywhere. But that performance, man, like, we talked about it in the post-game pod, the daily pod, the live pod, so I've spent pretty much every second I've been awake thinking about that Eagles game since it happened. But getting a chance to rewatch it on Monday, man, that was the most complete performance of the year. When you consider how great the running game was, how good the defense was, the turnovers, the sacks, and then Jalen. I mean, it all starts with Jalen. I don't think it's a coincidence that if you took the temperature of the fan base this season, there were probably three games where it was at its highest. It was probably after the Bengals game, when Jalen was awesome. After the Rams game, where Jalen really was not, like, bad, but he wasn't, you know, that was a Saquon game, right? He had almost 300 yards. And then after the Steelers game. Like, the fan base just feels better after Jalen has an awesome game. And, man, when you rewatch that game, Jalen certainly had an awesome game. So we'll do a rewatch report card probably on the Daily Pod today at 10 a.m. So make sure to check that out with me and James, 10 a.m. on YouTube. You can come hang out with all the other real ones, all the other auto downloaders in the chat, in the comment section on YouTube. So we'll do that at 10 a.m. today. So let's start with that on the schedule for today. And let me just hand up Donovan Chespat. I was wrong about Nick Sirianni talking on Monday. The schedule is all out of whack right now. I thought he'd talk Monday. I think he is going to talk today. But I'll be honest, until I get a concrete schedule from the Eagles, I'm not going to lead you guys in the wrong direction anymore. I will say, Nick Sirianni, it sounds like he's going to talk today. Don't have a time. I think we'll probably hear from him. But then in terms of Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, we don't know yet. So hand up, Donovan Chespat. My bad on that one. You know, it was a long 24 hours after that game. So my bad. But yes, be on the lookout today, I believe, for Nick Sirianni quotes. I believe that he will talk today. But the one thing I know will be on the schedule today, 10 a.m., Go Birds Pod Daily, day 23, the Dominique Rogers Cromartie original Chauncey Gardner Johnson. Kind of funny, the 223s both have hyphenated names. Nolan Carroll, also day 23. That will be at 10 a.m. So come hang out and come talk Eagles with us then. Let's get into the injury report. No real update on Monday. I don't think we'll get one Tuesday either, to be frank. I don't think Nick's going to give us much on the injured Landon Dickerson and Cam Jurgens. But the one tidbit we did get is Adam Schefter, obviously, of ESPN, was on the Pat McAfee show and said that Dickerson and Jurgens have a real chance to be ready. That's what I think. Like, I think they're going to play. I think Cam Jurgens and Landon Dickerson are going to play. Just doing the players lounge with Dickerson a few times this year, being around him since he's gotten here, I think he would literally have to have a broken leg or, you know, a completely torn. Honestly, he might even play with a completely torn ACL if they let him. Like, he will play in that game. And we saw Cam in that game play with a bad back injury. We'll hear some audio from Cam in a little bit. But I think you are looking at an Eagles team that will go into this game pretty much completely healthy. And will Brandon Graham be there? I think there's a good chance Brandon Graham will be there. So this team is getting healthy at the right time. And it looks like they will, this 2 weeks will be good for them to, you know, recover from little odds and ends injuries here and there. But looks like they'll be good to go for the Super Bowl. So let's get into some stuff we weren't able to get into on Monday after that NFC Championship win by the Eagles. So as they usually do on Monday, the Eagles put out Nick Sirianni's locker room speech to the team. And here's what Nick had to say.
Guys, awesome job. It came down to everything we talked about. Toughness, mental toughness, physical toughness. detail again. Way to take care of it, way to come after it. We've been relentless with that. That's gonna be the key next week too, I promise you that, right? And then together, right? It took everybody. And really, that's what it's been like the whole time, right? And it took everybody. Awesome job defense, awesome job offense, way to make plays, special teams. It was awesome. Not a lot much more to say. We got some unfinished business to handle.
You already know how we want it.
We're going to enjoy this. This is special. We've done a lot of special, like we talked about. But one more step, right? One more step.
The unfinished business thing, I've tried to say it to you guys all year. That is how they're approaching this year. Like, not winning it in 22, not getting there in 23. This team is on the doorstep of accomplishing the goal that they have been singularly focused on pretty much since the second that clock ended in Arizona against the Chiefs. Obviously, last year didn't go how they wanted it to go. But the other thing that I thought was interesting there is, so after the game on Sunday, I asked Nick what his message was to the team, and he didn't really say, right? He was kind of like, oh, it was chaotic, tough detail together, just kind of gave a blah answer. I don't know if he wanted to say at the podium about unfinished business, but it's out there now, and it's no secret, but I think that's the exact right message to give to this team. That's what they've been focused on all year. It's funny, when he picks up the NFC trophy and is kind of carelessly holding it with one hand, you can just tell they're happy they won it, and you can hear in there Nick says, look, this is a special thing to do, but they know that this is about the Super Bowl. So I thought his locker room speech did hit the correct tone of kind of where this team is at. Now, when the doors open and media was allowed in there, they went crazy, and it was wild in there. But yeah, I thought the right message from Nick after that. So kind of on that same note, since I was doing the daily pod or doing the postgame pod after the game, I didn't get a chance to hear Jeffrey Lurie at the podium when we recorded that pod. But since then, I have heard him. And, it was funny. Terry Bradshaw says to Jeffrey Lurie, man, this is unexpected. And in my head, I'm thinking, what are you talking about, bro? They were a Super Bowl favorite going into the season. They have one of the best rosters in the NFL. They were the 2 seed. They were in the Super Bowl 2 years ago. They have one. So it was pretty surprising he said that. I guess in theory, it's always, you never expect to win. But Jeffrey Lurie's answer I thought was good. And here's what Jeffrey had to say on the postgame podium after the Eagles' NFC Championship win.
How unexpected is this for this team that you own to go to the Super Bowl 59 in New Orleans?
Well, it's kind of expected, I think.
Oh, okay, good.
You know what?
Yeah.
I mean, the most unselfish, humble group of players, coaches led by Nick, Howie and his staff. I mean, the best fans in the world. It's a pretty strong cocktail. I like that cocktail.
Congratulations. See you in New Orleans.
Great to be back, and we're there to win it.
Yeah, I mean, I said it after the game that I think Sirianni and Jalen are the new gold standard when it comes to the Eagles as a duo. They have passed Andy Reid and Donovan McNabb, in my opinion. But I think overall, this is what they're going to expect every year. We'll see how the game goes in 2 weeks. But if they win the Super Bowl, they'll expect to try to win it next year and to be right there. If they don't win it, especially with the lessons of 2023 and how that impacted them, they will be there right there trying to win it. Now, we'll talk after the game, for better or worse, about what their chances are, but there's no question when you have Saquon, AJ, Devontae, Jalen, Quinn Young, Cooper, Chauncey, Jalen Carter, Nolan Smith, they're at Milton Williams, Moro Jamo, they are absolutely going to be expected to try to win the Super Bowl every single year. And I do think it is at a point where any year they're not in the NFC Championship game is going to be viewed as a big failure. It just is. Either because they weren't good enough in the regular season, and by the time they get to the second round or whatever, the regular season wasn't good enough, or they have a great regular season and they lose a playoff game they're not supposed to. So, this year coming into it, maybe that's what Lurie's saying. I mean, that's what Bradshaw's saying, who knew? But it became pretty clear once his team started playing weeks 7, 8, 9 that this is where they were supposed to be. And with the talent on their roster, this is where they're going supposed to be for a long time. This is the new normal for the Eagles. As long as they have this roster, this head coach, this GM, and this quarterback, especially if he plays like he did on Sunday. So, speaking of which, the one thing I didn't get into the pod on Monday that I really wanted to was Saquon Barkley. Just didn't get a chance to talk to him at the locker. It was running all around. It was crazy. But prior to the game, it came out via Ryan Dunleavy, very good New York reporter, I believe the New York Post, that Saquon had two offers from different teams that were worth more money, but he decided to come with the Eagles. And he talked about, you know, why he came here after the win over the Packers and the Rams, but he talked about it again, and this time he did it with an NFC champion hat on his head. And here's what Saquon had to say about, you know, coming here, but also like how this isn't the end goal for them.
It's amazing. We're here. Super Bowl. But the goal wasn't just getting there. The goal is to win. And we're going to celebrate, enjoy this, and get right back to work.
You know, turning down money from two other teams, and let's be real, it probably wasn't like $4 million more. I mean, trust me, I am not poo-pooing like $500,000 or whatever it was. But Saquon absolutely made the right decision to come here. And the other thing that is very true about where the Eagles are at with Saquon is that it's going to be so hard to get that season from the same season Saquon's having this year to get it next year. Now, look, he's a physical freak. He is playing behind a great O-line. Like, there are real reasons he could be great again. But he's going to set the record for most yards in a season from a running back, regular and postseason. Like, it's going to be really hard to get this type of success from Saquon. So when he talks about having to win it, like, yeah, this is a great shot for the Eagles. As much as, again, Lurie expects it every year and unfinished business and all that, it's just going to be hard to get back. And so to get this season from Saquon to be healthy, yeah, they got to capitalize on it this year. And you can hear that in Saquon when he talks about, you know, having to finish it. No one remembers NFC champions. Not completely true. Like, the 2022 team will be remembered fondly, but they're remembered different than the 2017 team is. You know, they just are. So, yeah, absolutely true. So, to get to the Super Bowl, the Eagles needed some stud performances from a lot of players. But one of the most courageous performances and really tough performances they got was from Cam Jurgens. A weird thing before the game where it didn't sound like he was going to play. He warmed up, then he was active, but he didn't start. And then obviously Landon Dickerson suffers a knee injury and he ends up coming into the game. Cam does for the second half. And seeing him after the game, it's clear, like, my guy put in a hard day's work at the office. He was, you could tell that, I'm guessing he probably woke up sore on Monday, if I had to guess. And Tuesday's probably not been too fun either. But man, that's what the team is. Like, you know, Nick talks a lot about how when you're close with your teammate, like, you do more for them. And I think when you listen to Cam talk here, that's kind of what you hear from him. So here's Cam talking on the field after the game about just, you know, his back injury and playing and everything it meant.
I'm just so proud of this team. Just want to say thanks to the trainers, Joe, Tom. It was a long week.
We're all shocked by the back injury. When did it pop up for you? How did you work through it?
You know, it's football. It's violence. So yeah. Just fighting. And this team's got so much fight. I love it. We're going to win this next one.
Sometimes when, you know, coaches or players will say you play harder for the person next to you, sometimes I think that's a little like cliche, right? But I also think in a business where we're talking about guys' bodies, and I know it's NFC championship game, so I like to think every player in the NFL would do everything they could to play in that game. But if Cam's not like super tight with his teammates and like super tight with the head coach, does he push through or does he say, you know what, like, I can't go today? If the atmosphere in the locker room is not a good one, maybe he sits it out. Maybe he goes, you know what, I shouldn't be playing today for my health. I'm going to sit it out. And I think what you heard there is someone that wanted to play there for his teammates. So they're a special team. They're a special group. And they have a chance to accomplish something super, super special in 2 weeks. And if they do it, it'll really make this stretch of Eagles football the best stretch of Eagles football we've ever seen. It might already be that stretch, but you add a ring to it, and I don't think there's much debate after that. So cool to hear Cam Jurgens talk about how badly he wanted to play and all those things. So how did the Eagles win the game? On the other side, we're going to get into some of the big plays that actually clinched the game for him. We've done so much, and look, I'm an emotional man. I love it. We've done so much emotional talk about what it means and all that. Let's get into some specifics that really helped the Eagles win that game in the dominating fashion they did. So on the other side, six plays that helped the Eagles win the NFC Championship game. But first, a word from our sponsors. You know, rewatching the game on Monday, you look at the final score, and we'll always remember 55-23 as just a completely dominating performance. But man, there were some times where that thing was close. Like, third quarter, it wasn't completely wrapped up. Now I'm talking about an 11-point lead as if, you know, that's that's like nothing. But like, it wasn't a 30-point game the entire time. They didn't jump out 28 to nothing like they did on the Giants. So there were a few key moments, I thought, in that game that really, really helped them secure it. So I want to go through, after rewatching it, six plays that helped the Eagles win the NFC Championship. So number one, and I thought it in the moment, but you look at the play sheet. What a cowardly move by my guy Dan Quinn, kicking a field goal on 4th and 3 from the Eagles 16 on the opening drive. They'd converted 2 fourth downs already, and that was a 17-play drive. Starting a 17-play drive and ending up with 3 points is absurd. Like, you got to go for that 4th down. It reminded me of the Bengals game early in the year where they had a chance to go up 10-0, but instead they kicked a field goal, and so, like, you know, you don't build the lead that you're supposed to. Dan Quinn had a shot there to get a touchdown on the opening drive. If they would have gone for that 4th and 3, I think they would have got it. The way they were moving the ball on the opening drive, the Eagles defense was still adjusting. They could have ended that drive with a field goal. With the touchdown instead of a field goal. Instead, he kicks the field goal, and then we all know what happens next, and that is the second biggest play that won the Eagles NFC. And I know this is a bit of a basic, like, well, duh, Elliott. But Ray Dinger was on WIP on Monday, and he said the play reminded him of the Wilbur Montgomery touchdown run in the NFC Championship game on, like, one of the first plays. And this Saquon run will be remembered as that type of play in Eagles history. He now has 2 weeks in a row where we're talking about all-time Eagles runs from a running back that will be remembered forever. And Saquon Barkley, first play of the game, first touch of the game, 60-yard touchdown. I mean, unbelievable. You rewatch it, you watch the different angles of it, you watch the angle. I mean, like, the crowd cheering when he scores, it is the new version of the Phillies home run cheers. Like those, you know, listen to Red October without the announcers, which are awesome videos. That's what Saquon runs are now. The 60-yard touchdown where you could just hear the crowd slowly build. First, they can see there's a hole. And then he gets past the first defender. And then he bounces off the other two. And then he cuts inside. In each step of that, there's more noise and more noise and more flags being waved and more people standing. Like, what a moment. And again, like, if Dan Quinn gets a touchdown on the opening drive, like, who knows, right? Like, who knows how that second drive goes? But because he kicked the field goal and then Saquon does what he did, like, immediately the Eagles get that lead back. And it was just a massive, massive thing. And it really was kind of a theme for the day of whenever the Commanders made a play, the Eagles made one right back. So speaking of which, next drive, Washington gets the ball back. Zach Bond forces a fumble and he recovers it. And the Eagles on that possession take a 14-3 lead. So think of how differently this could have gone. Commanders moving down the field, like, dinking and dunking, play after play, 2 fourth downs. They kick the field goal. Instead of 7-0, it's 3-0. Boom. Saquon runs it in for a touchdown at 7-3. They get the ball back. Boom. Turnover. And now it's 14-3. Like, that beginning of the game sequence was so, so huge in setting up a tone for the day. Like, it was a great crowd, but it could have easily been a nervous crowd if that first drive went differently and then the Eagles don't get a 60-yard touchdown. Like, it could have gone very differently. So Zach Bond forcing that fumble, giving the Eagles an early 11-point lead. They never looked back, but it was a massive, massive play in the game. So all that being said, Washington does start to move a little bit, and the game is 14-12, and the Eagles are facing a 4th down on the Washington 45, and they go for it. So think about that. It's right before the end of the half. It's 4th down. They're on the Washington 45 and they're only up 2. So Nick going for this here on 4th and 5, he could have tried to pin him deep. I wouldn't have done it and he didn't, but he could have tried. But if he doesn't get this play and it's kind of a low percentage throw, like, Washington could very easily be winning this game at halftime. Instead of going in with a lead, they could have easily gone in trailing. So this is, of course, the play I'm talking about. Jalen to AJ Brown, just a perfect throw, perfect play. Big time throw in a big time moment. Like, why do you pay franchise quarterbacks franchise money? It's for moments like that. NFC Championship game, 2-point game, 4th down, money throw to AJ. It was a huge, huge play. So the Eagles get the 4th down. And because of that, they get a touchdown on the drive to go up 20-12. So again, much like in the beginning of the game, instead of 7-0, it's 3-0. Instead of potentially 15-14, they're up 20-12. So, and then this is where it all really started to fall apart for Washington. I thought one of the other big plays that we didn't talk about enough on the pod, Will Shipley forcing a fumble after the Eagles take a 20-12 lead. So after that 4th down play and the touchdown, Will Shipley forces a fumble right before half. Eagles score, make it 27-12. And there you're like, they got this. Now, Washington makes it a little closer for sure. Like, there is the one more push Washington has. But when you're up 27-12, I mean, I didn't check, I should have, but I should have checked the live odds on Bet Parks. They had to be, I mean, extremely, extremely heavy favorites at that point. So the final big play, I thought. So Washington had just scored a touchdown. They make it 34-23. And again, an 11-point lead is still a pretty sizable lead, but 11-point lead. And then the Eagles, after this touchdown, one of the rare times the offense didn't respond, Washington scores, makes it 34-23. Eagles then get the ball back, and they punt it with 1:44 to play in the third. So in theory here, like, Washington's driving. They have the ball at midfield. They had, you know, somewhat moved the ball throughout the day. They could have scored and made that 31-34, 30-34, where all of a sudden things get really tight. Oren Burks steps up, forces a fumble. The Eagles recover. They score a touchdown. It's 41-23. Ball game. Eagles are going to the Super Bowl. And I think what you saw throughout this list of plays, offense makes a play. Defense makes a play. Special teams makes a play. And the head coach and coaching staff make decisions to help. It was a full team win by the Eagles on Sunday. And because of that, they're going to the Super Bowl. So thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you for taking the time to spend it with me every morning. Means the world, as I'll say. And I'll be saying it way more now that in the Super Bowl. You think I was emotional before. You just wait till I get to New Orleans. So thank you for listening. Until then, he's Elliot. I'm James. Talk to you guys later.